Blog Talk Radio.
I am immortal, I'll never fade away. I'm a legacy that lives beyond, far beyond the grave.
Well, I was at a
Four Wheeler Park. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and came back Sunday. Went mudding all weekend.
Oh, you're talking our language.
Yeah, there was a two country artists there. Did a concert Saturday night. Then we had fireworks. So yeah, I saw a lot of crazy ass rednecks doing crazy ass shit.
Oh my gosh, that's beautiful. That's speaking right to our heart.
Hey, that's what we do down here in Texas.
Well, that's what we do up here in Virginia, so I guess it's all right. We had a really good time. I was a horrible mother. I mean, I feel so bad. I was giving it heck, coming up this hill on my four-wheeler. Well, our friend's four-wheelers, you know. And my son was on the back, and the next thing I know, he's, like, riding beside me on the ground. I was like, oh, my God, I done lost my kids. I mean, I don't even know how that happened. And I didn't want him to get upset, so I had to get off and be like, yeah, that was awesome. And the whole time I was like, oh, my God, I almost killed my kid.
Wow.
But he was a champ about it. Then Ashley, of course, was like, I can't believe that. I saw you on two wheels. And then, you know, she, like, took him and put him on hers, the safe mobile.
For some reason, I don't believe Ashley is safe.
Oh, my gosh. She's like a prude, man. I'm serious. Well, I had to pass him off to his mother to actually get to ride it real fun-like. And then once I saw my nephew on two wheels going sideways, and it was like slow motion. I put out my hand like, no! And then my nephew's like being drugged behind a four-wheeler. So I was like, just get back on the car. Don't you ride with your mama. So, yeah, I got to tame it down for the children's, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I lost my cell phone the first night I was there at about 2 o'clock in the morning. And I got up on the 4th of July that morning and drove to a neighboring town and got a new cell phone.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So I they're like, well, do you want to do a free upgrade? You're due. You can pay $150 to get an iPhone 4. With what you had, or pay $50 and get the iPhone 5. I said $50, duh.
Oh, yeah. Did you have an iPhone before?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I love my iPhone. I got an iPhone 5. And that thing is beautiful. I mean, I love it. If I lost it, I wouldn't even know what the hell to do.
Yeah, did you know that the iPhone has an app where you can find your phone or it'll set off an alarm? And I was like, no. And two, I was out there by myself because my buddy's back. I had to work. So who the hell was I going to get to help find my cell phone at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know?
Yeah.
So
I've seen people use those apps. Or, like, they've said that, you know, they've used them. I don't understand it completely, because if I can't find my damn phone, I don't understand how to find my phone. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. I'm the same way. So I got an early birthday present to myself, because my birthday is Thursday. So there you go.
Happy birthday!
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. What are you going to do?
Work.
Oh, my God. Ooh, party animal you. Oh, my gosh.
Well, I'm not going to take off on my birthday and then have to come back on Friday. So
that's true.
My birthday celebration was the whole 4th of July weekend. So.
Heck yeah, man. Were you sober any of that time?
For the most part, yes. Had a little bit
I'm
of moonshine.
I hear what you're saying here.
Well, you know, I had a little bit of moonshine, so.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that's how we do it down here, too. Four wheelers, mud, and moonshine.
Oh, my gosh. It's like we're separated relatives. That's what the hell this is like. I actually drink her strawberry moonshine, man. I don't partake.
I partaked in some apple pie moonshine, and that shit was good.
We've had apple pie. Yeah, I can't even talk. See, it's so damn good, I can't even talk about it. That's some good shit, man. Have you tried the lemon drop?
No.
Oh, man. That's some good stuff. Then you got, we went to Tennessee. We went to a distillery or whatever and got to try all different kinds of moonshine. It was a beautiful thing. It was.
Yeah, I bet.
Heck yeah.
Bet
if you just walk up this one street,
bet,
you'll
I
be toasted to seven.
I bet Ashley partaked in that.
Heck yeah, she did, man. She brought back moonshine. She was, like, so impressed she bought it. They had peanut butter and jelly shine. I mean, if you hit it perfectly, you walk up one side of the street, get a buzz, walk all the way to the end, hit the other distillery, and hit the other one, and by the time you get home, you got a free buzz. Or me walking drunk. I tried to ride a mechanical donkey, but the bastard was shut down, and I was real mad about that.
Oh, man. And hopefully Melissa will be joining us tonight. She's had to work the last couple Tuesdays till 10 o'clock, so hopefully she'll be able to join us tonight. And
I didn't see that, man.
Let me go ahead. Let me do my responsibility that I always need to do.
Sir.
Let me find it here. There it is. This is a ad for our sponsor, NOLA Ghost Force down in New Orleans. If you're down that way, check them out. They've been recently ranked in the top five must-see attractions down in New Orleans. So they're doing a heck of a job. And Chris, along with Kevin Beltzer from South Paranormal, from the Sci-Fi Channel, I have been doing this ghost tour, so they've been having great success. So this is a word from our sponsor.
Going to New Orleans for the weekend, for vacation? Are you wanting to take a ghost hunting tour but tired of the same old walking tours? Where you don't even get to go into the locations, and you're not even sure if the history is accurate? Well, call NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours. This team of guys are going to take you into a real haunted location where you're going to get to use the state-of-the-art equipment that ghost hunters use. Be the paranormal investigator. You get to work with an experienced, competent team of investigators and have the real, true paranormal experience. Experience the dark side of New Orleans. Call NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours. They have tours Friday through Monday. Tours start at 7 and at 10 p.m. For more information, call 504-708-3567.
All right, that was a word from our sponsor, and I'm going to read the bio for our guest tonight.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Our guest tonight is Selena Rohn, and she is also from the great state of Texas, since I got all these Virginia girls that are my co-hosts. I had to bring a fellow Texan in here. Selena is the founder of Fear Paranormal Society and the host of the internet show called Close to Death on the 10 Network. She's had an interest in the paranormal since childhood and even has had some prophetic dreams. Her passion for the field intensified when she lost her mom in 2004. add to that the passing of her best friend, and her instantly went in overdrive. She has recently become aware of the fact that she has some empath ability and working on focusing and growing and developing those. And also, she's been speaking at conferences in Paracon, and she was also included an investigator on the documentary Shadows on 66 with Chip Coffey, Barry, and Brad Queen. And she also has a few major projects in the works for 2014. And I believe we have her on hold.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. What's going on, my fellow Texan?
I know, right?
I heard that.
Yeah, you get to enjoy the fact that we're on the show with two crazy Virginians, Misty and Ashley, and they're sisters, and I love them to death.
Awesome. How you doing, girls?
We are doing wonderful.
Lovely, lovely. How you doing, girl?
Girl, you know I got it going on down here. Oh.
So how have things been going with you?
Oh, my God. Actually, it's been kind of crazy busy and a little emotional, too, the last couple weeks, but everything's been pretty good, except for the loss of my friend and the loss of my cousin in 1 week. But other than that, the investigations have been rocking.
Yeah.
Lots of things going on, yeah. The supermoon was awesome July 12th, let me just say that.
Oh, yes, it was. I will say that, yeah.
It definitely helped intensify the activity for show.
Well, I talked to you before, so I know you quite well, but for our guest and for my co-host, kind of give a little background of how you got into the paranormal.
Well, kind of started off kind of strangely, but when I was a little kid, I used to have a lot of deja vu, places that there's no way in hell I could have ever been at, you know, being 5 years old, 4 years old. At the earliest I can remember having kind of deja vu was like 6, you know, and I'm like, I know there's no way I've ever been to this place, but I knew I had been there before. So I had that a whole lot as a kid. And then when I grew, like, into, like, I think I was 12 when I had the changing dream that I had that changed my life. It was an out-of-body type of dream, and I pretty much witnessed my dad's best friend dying in a car accident, and woke up to it being the truth, and it happened pretty much at the same time, and it described it to my mom before she even told me what happened. So, That was weird. And then I kind of shut down after that. I went into a kind of a spiral because it made me feel like my dream caused that man's death, you know. And so I had guilt, and I shut down everything. I didn't dream or anything that I can really remember, nothing like those dreams anyway, just little stupid stuff. And when I was, I believe it was 89, and I had a dream that I had I witnessed a plane crash, and it was horrific, and, you know, it was coming in weird, and I said, that plane is not going to land right, and it flipped over end, and the fuselage was only left, and, I mean, I could smell the fuel, I could feel the hot from the, you know, the heat from the fire, I could hear people screaming, and dirt and debris flying everywhere, and what woke me up was a hot piece of metal had hit my arm, and I woke up screaming bloody murder, and I was like, holy crap, that was just a bad dream. 2 weeks later, I'm sitting watching TV approximately about 2 weeks later, and breaking news, Sioux City, Iowa plane crash, and they showed the footage of it, and it was my dream. Looking through the fence view and everything, and man, you talk about scaring the crap out of somebody. Every time I have a dream sort of, you know, like that, it always ends up in somebody getting killed. However, that particular time, a lot of people actually survived that plane crash. I think like 239 people were aboard, and I think 189 survived. So,
That's pretty amazing, but it was the weirdest part about it is that it happened on July 19th of 89, and my son was born July 19th, 2001. So I don't know what the date thing is. I know the numerologists are out there going, oh, this means that and the other. Please contact me and tell me if there's any you know, thing to do with that, because that is just too strange. It's too big of a coincidence, I guess. But anyway, after that, I kind of just got away from, you know, trying to dream. I just kind of shut down. I could always feel my mom's sickness. She had lupus. I could feel when she was not feeling good. I could feel when, you know, her legs were hurting from neuropathy. I could feel a lot of things that I didn't understand when I was younger. When she passed away, I went into a deep, deep depression, and I finally started coming out of it about 2010, going to haunted places. But through that whole depression, I watched nothing but paranormal everything, and I didn't care what it was. If it had paranormal anything in it, I watched it because I wanted to find out how I can contact my mom. You know, I missed her that bad. And so that was my reason for, you know, pretty much getting into it. And then, man, I'm telling you, just like everything, it's like I found my calling, you know what I mean? I've worked at shitty jobs my whole life, jobs that I didn't even want, didn't care about, hated going to, and I don't even get paid for this damn job, and I love it. You know what I mean? I don't make a dime off this, but I'm absolutely thrilled, and I finally found my niche, and I love it. And so we started our team in 2011, and it wasn't originally named Fear. It was actually going to be named Lips, but the co-founder said, no, ma'am, we got to be taken seriously. So we changed it because it was five women at first, all women. And we changed it, and it's now Fear for everything a reason. And we've been doing at privates and commercials and public events and fundraisers, and just took off. You know, we just went running with it, and we love it. And Brad and Barry asked me about May or April of last year if I wanted to be on a project with them. And I said, well, what's it about? And they told me the premise of it, and then they said, well, and you'd be working with Chip Coffee. And I'd be like, well, duh.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I've watched that man on my TV for so long, and I love him so much. And are you kidding me? Yeah, where do I sign up? So we went to Galena, Kansas, and filmed for a week in the hot-ass June sun of the Midwest. And we got it filmed, and we got it on documentary. And it was pretty cool, but I don't think it got the attention that, you know, it should have. But, you know, so be it. But it's still an awesome place and an awesome DVD, and I'm pretty proud of what my part was in it. So, you know,
what was your part in it?
Pretty cool. Well, actually, I was the investigator. Brad and Barry were mainly interviewing the townspeople and doing research, and Chip did his thing, and then I would do my thing, and then actually we all four got to investigate together. But none of that made it to the DVD because you have an hour in which to tell a story. You know what I mean? So, I mean, a week's worth of filming and condensed into an hour, there just wasn't enough time. But the results weren't what we thought they were going to be, but it wasn't for lack of trying on my part, that's for sure. But we did, I mean, just imagine you being brand new in the paranormal, really, and just starting your team not too long ago, and now you're playing with the big boys already, you know? And I was just like, is this really happening? Somebody pinch me. Why me? You know, how was I chosen? I don't know. And so I just guess I lucked out. I don't know, but I feel so blessed to have met Chip, and, you know, Brad and Barry are cool, and, you know, it's done wonders for me as far as helping me out of my depression and you know, helping me move towards the answers that I want. And after 10 years, I finally got the answers I wanted. I finally got contact with my mom. So
how did you finally get the contact? Was it through Chip, or was it?
No. Well, Chip did kind of do a little, we were in Galena actually filming. It was when we first met, and I had not really talked about a whole lot about my mom, you know, just said that I lost her, you know, a while back, and that, you know, it was hard, and that's pretty much it. And we were standing outside the hotel fixing to go in and go to bed, and he goes, what the hell was that? And I said, well, I don't know. You're the one who didn't see crap. You know, you tell me what it was. And he goes, she wanted me to tell my baby I love her. And I went, okay. Long black hair, brown eyes. I go, holy crap, that was my mom. Is she still here? He goes, no, she did a drive-by, say hi, and she's gone. And I said, okay, awesome. And that was pretty much it for that. But then a while later, I got my friend is a psychic, and she knew nothing. I mean, she's not a friend. She is now, but she wasn't prior to this, not that she knew much about me.
Right.
And, I mean, stuff that she was saying she would never have known had it not been for the contact of my mother. I'm serious. It was just like I was blown away, bawling like nobody's business on the phone. You know, just blubbering. I couldn't believe it. After 10 years, I finally had a little relief. Well, then Sunday on my show, just so happens, I had Tracy Ray Ramsey and Keith Ramsey as my guests.
Mm-hmm.
And Tracy Ray, 5 minutes into the freaking interview, she goes, do you know Vicky? I'm sorry to interrupt you, she said. She goes, do you know Vicky? And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, well, she's hollering her name at me and wants me to get your attention. And I said, okay, well, that's my mom. And she was like, oh, my God. So I got messages through the whole thing from her and my best friend I lost. So it was. She goes, well, girl, you got to talk to me privately. I got so much more telling you. You got relatives hollering at me left and right. And I'm like, oh, my God,
my
cool.
I have a question about your depression.
About
you
what?
Don't mind. I have a question about your depression, if you don't mind.
Oh, go for it. Sure.
Okay. First of all, were you medicated when you were depressed?
Actually, they tried a lot of medications on me,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of them didn't work. They actually would just numb me, but I would still sit and just cry.
Right.
I just couldn't get out of it. It was just like a horrible thing, or they would give me headaches or, you know, make me sick to my stomach or whatever, so I just quit taking them. And I relied a lot on prayer. You know?
Right, exactly. Do you think that the paranormal activity around you was heightened when you were more depressed or less depressed?
I would say actually probably more. But now, though, I'm not as depressed. It's just my energy level has changed. And
right.
They call me the ghost magnet because it's like I'm open, and they said there's been several people that tell me my energy is just exudes, you know,
right.
Positive, good energy. And so
mm-hmm.
people come up to me all the time and are like, oh, my God, I just am drawn to you for some reason. And I'm like, wow. And, you know, okay, never had that happen before. That's kind of cool. And, you know, and it's just because your energy, yeah, they do kind of come to you when you're at your lowest or you're fearful or sad or whatever. They do. I think they do contact with you a little bit more. But then your energy changes, and I can't really say that I've had more or less because the last two investigations I've had just in the last 3 days have been out of this world active. So it's kind of hard to say, you know, but I would agree with if you're more depressed or sad or afraid, they do tend to, the activity does pick up is what I do believe.
I was thinking that. Like, that was just a personal, question we had from just our investigations of, you ever get those people that get in touch with you, and they're like, I've got activity out the yang, man. And it's and I know that was a beautiful term, out the yang.
Yeah.
Anyway, but then when you go to their house, you find out that they are in turmoil. I mean, their marriage is crazy. They're depressed. They're psychotic. Their kids are crazy, killing animals. I mean, all that crazy stuff. And then they look like hoarders. And, you know, that question was presented to me a long time ago. They were like, have you noticed the activity is crazy around these people?
Yeah.
And I wonder if the activity brought on the depression I mean, just throwing theories out there. Or does the activity come along after the depression, you know?
As far as my case goes, I really, you know what I mean? I didn't know I was an empath with all the stuff that was happening throughout my life. I mean, my mom was not surprised when I told her the story because she had abilities as well. But as far as my story, my depression came after my mom passed away, and that's when the paranormal passion started picking up. And I only had little bitty stuff happening, but nothing that I could really tell. But when I would go to investigations, like I went, when we started our team, we went to a couple of places, and I didn't understand why I was perfectly healthy and felt good and energized and ready to do this investigation and did our protection prayer and would go in, and then something would hit me and I'd get sick or whatever, and I didn't understand what that was. But, you know, now it all, like, makes sense. But the depression, the activity came after the depression started for me.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of the cases that I've been involved with down here, it doesn't necessarily, the family was already in turmoil, and that's why the activity happened. A lot of the time, the family was already in turmoil, and then there was this one brief turning point where, not for the good, they did something, right? Whether they played with a Ouija board or something tragic happened to somebody in the family or something that triggered this moment of all hell breaking loose in their house. And I think a lot of the times, especially if it's a malevolent type spirit, if it's just a good spirit or whatnot, they don't really feed on negativity, but your malevolent do. And the more negativity they can stir up in a family, the more energy they get to turmoil, you know, screw with them. So
manifest, yeah.
Yeah, and I've had cases, being a founder, you know, I've told team members, look, if you're having a bad week, you know, having some really bad things going on in your life, you may not want to go on this investigation. You know, it can get kind of hairy, depending on where we're going, whether it's a public or a private. You know, and some of them won't actually tell me that they're having, you know, hard times. And then when we go, they're the one that something crazy happens to. It's almost like, and I've talked to some psychics and stuff, it's almost like our aura is weaker when we're either sick or we're depressed, so we don't have as much of a wall put up, so we're more open to the other side. And so, you know, spirits see that, and they're like, aha, I know who to pick on tonight.
Yeah, exactly. When I went into that house that we did down in Ferris, Texas, I tell you what, I was so sick, I about fell off the bed. I started cold sweats, almost threw up, almost passed out. My head was pounding like nobody's business. I mean, I had no idea what the hell was going on. You know what I mean? We even had another investigator in the same room get kicked in the little, cojones. And I'm not saying anything bad about how big or small his cojones were. I just said, okay, we'll just say he got kicked in his cojones, okay? And
he got kicked in the giblets.
Yes, he sure did. And he dropped them dowsing rods real quick, let me just tell you, and he went to a real high pitch in his voice. So it was an interesting case, but, you know, not understanding why I was getting ill or why I would get extremely sad at some places or why I would get almost scared to where I was shaking from head to toe, I just didn't understand that. I was like, what in the hell is wrong with me? And then when I went to a psychic, my aunt finally paid for one, like January this year. Now, this was before I got actual contact with my mom. Paid for a psychic, and I really didn't get what I needed from her as far as contact with my friend Kenny and contact with my mom. But she told me, girl, I could feel your energy and know you were coming before you got here. Your energy is strong. She asked me all these questions, and I'm like, yeah, I do that. She's like, you're an empath. And I'm like, what the hell is an empath? I mean, I've been called a lot of crap in my life, but what is that? And so, you know, she explained it to me. And I'm like, oh, my God. It was like one of those, you know, those moments where the gates open up and you hear the angels singing and stuff. That's kind of what it felt like. It was like, oh, my God, now all this stuff makes sense. You know what I mean? All this, all from all the way back makes sense now. Wow, thanks for finally telling me I'm only 45 years old. I appreciate it.
You know, how do you work on your abilities? Like you were saying that you are working on them to develop them more. What are some exercises you do for anybody else that has that same thing?
Woo, well, let me tell you, I've had to, my friend Dakota Lawrence he's a psychic medium clairvoyant, and he is so cool as far as trying to help me out. And he told me at first, he goes, okay, you need to first off learn how to get good in and keep the bad out. And I said, okay, well, tell me what I got to do. You know what I mean? And he said, you need to put in your mind, you need to put mirrors reflecting outward so that all the negativity from everyone else bounces off back at them and not, you don't absorb it. And I'm like, okay. So I tried that, and I couldn't get the visual. You know what I mean? I just couldn't make it stop. I mean, I've been absorbing everybody's emotions around me for 45 years. It's going to be a little bit harder to learn how to stop doing that, you know, how to stop being, oh, you know, let me help you out. Oh, you're the underdog. Let me, you know, come over here and do this. I've got to learn how to stop doing all that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told him the mirrors weren't working. So he goes, well, honey, then try the bubble. And I'm like, what the hell is the bubble? So he explained to me that, you know, you sit there and you meditate for a few minutes and you think about only, you know, light and good things and positive and, you know, kind of find your happy place or whatever. Whatever works for you as far as your happy place. And then you kind of, with your arms, just go out and kind of imaginary bubble around you. You know what I mean? And try to protect yourself that way. And since I just found out in January, it's kind of new to me, and I'm, like, researching and learning and trying to I got my chakras done, which I've never had my chakras done. I didn't even know what the hell chakras were, and I was like, you know, I wasn't into the metaphysical, so I was like, what is a chakra?
Hey.
What is that supposed to do? And I don't do yoga or anything like that, so they've opened up my chakras, and, you know, I've been meditating a lot more, and I've been praying for God to kind of open up pretty much. I know I can't pick and choose, but I'm praying for all positive, you know what I mean? But I know I'm not going to get all positive, but I'm praying for it, and I'm like, you know, just trying to open my mind up a little bit more and be more aware of, you know, yeah, that's actually what I'm feeling and not question it so much, you know, not try to debate myself on whether that's what's really going on or not, you know. I have a lot of that inner turmoil going on, and I need to just go ahead and just accept it and not question it and just, you know, move on. And the shielding has been the hardest part for me, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you go into Walmart, and it takes me about 15 minutes, and I'm overwhelmed. It's like I can feel everybody's stress, everybody's emotions. This lady over here is about to beat the hell out of her kid, and he's screaming bloody murder, and, you know, it makes me nervous. And then
that's a normal day
in
Walmart, girl.
Yeah, girl, I can't do Walmart. I mean, it's too much. I'm going to start going to Target. It's a lot more calm, I'm telling you.
Target, baby. Call it Target.
That's right. Oh, man. So
that
bubble thing
you were talking about, we kind of do that also. We, I think it's a good practice for anybody because it helps them to make sure that they are dealing with just themselves and not any outside influences. So that's a good practice.
Yeah, and it's hard, though. I mean, when you've been soaking everybody's crap in and, you know, like dealing with, you know, even my mom and dad divorcing and separating and all that crap, you know, and I would bury myself in my room and music and just ignore it all or whatever, but I could still feel the tension. I could still feel the betrayal. I could still feel all that, you know?
Right.
And it was like, ugh, you know, it was just a yucky feeling. And, you know, now I can try and go, okay, that's their crap. That's their feelings. I'm going to let them have that over there, and they can deal with that themselves, and this is how I feel about it. And I'm trying to get to that point, and I'm really working hard on it. So I went to my one of my good friends that passed away July 1st from breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
We did her celebration of life last night. And, you know, she always told me, she goes, I swear if you come and you do that baby BS crying and shit at my memorial, I'm going to haunt your ass. And you know I will, because she loves the paranormal, you know. And, you know, I don't even know where I was going with that. But anyway, just that whole thing with feeling all those emotions around with her family and things like that, I did so good last night shielding that. I was so proud of myself for not trying to take on her little 16-year-old sons. I lost my mom. You know what I mean? Because I totally
mm-hmm.
understand that.
Right.
And so I did good last night. I was so proud, and I couldn't wait to, you know, tell Dakota, oh, my God, I got through it without bubbling like an idiot and just, you know, snotting everywhere and being ugly. And, you know, I would have made Melinda proud because I didn't cry. I whimpered a little bit, but I'm like, nope. So I held myself together, and I felt my feelings. I didn't have to take on anyone else's, and it was really a nice change last night.
That's good.
So, yeah, it felt good. And, I mean, I did pat myself on the back when I left because I wasn't so overwhelmed, and there were a lot of people there with all kinds of emotions going on. So,
yeah.
You know, it was crazy, but I think I did well last night testing my bubble.
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do y'all
I've
have
learned,
any suggestions for me?
I've learned a couple things through being around, you know, psychics, and I've had psychics on my team and whatnot, and they've had to deal with it all their lives. And it's good for anybody, you know, because all of us, you know, being a paranormal investigator, the more we do it, I believe the more we open ourselves up and we start discovering things about ourselves. And some good things that I've done, water is a good cleansing tool. It always has been. And if you get into, say, a shower and let the water hit you, and you just imagine that water is washing, you know, you have to visualize that water turning into, like, black, dirty water, right? And it's washing all the
yeah.
negative energy off of you. And it's going down the drain. And as that water is going down the drain, on top of it, light surrounds you. And if you just do that and you do that visualization, man, you come out of that shower feeling like $1,000. You know, you're just, man. You know, and I've learned also on grounding, and the best way to do some grounding is actually take your shoes and socks off and stand out in the grass outside and push all that negative energy, anything negative that's going on around you, even if it's, you know, just your personal life. It doesn't necessarily have to be because you're investigating. And you flush all that into the ground. You feel a lot better. It's a lot of visualization, kind of meditation type stuff, you know,
mm-hmm.
but it really works, man. I'm telling you, I've done it many a time. And so those are good things to help you with. I talked to one of my friends that's psychic, and he goes, man, you know, water's a good cleansing tool, but the best water that is out there is rainwater, right? Because it's Mother Nature. It's what God created. And he goes, thank God I got a fenced-in backyard, because when it starts raining, I'll get butt naked. I'll go stand out in the rain and cleanse myself.
does this person have a GQ top figure, or is she more like a family guy?
you probably know him. It's Mike. McCaskill.
Okay, Lord have mercy. Yeah, I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's got a backyard where ain't nobody can see him there, Mike.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I can't even see him doing that. That's crazy.
Oh,
that's funny.
Oh, yeah.
That's a visual I need to erase. Hold on a minute. All right, there we go.
I did that to Martin one night. I texted him about it. He goes, dude, I did not even know that.
You're right. Well, I mean, it's like when you see Scott Grinwald, you know, doing his paranormal paparazzi show, and he's running around buck naked with the naked investigators, and I'm like, holy crap, thank God for pixelization. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
That's more of that man than I ever wanted to see.
That's one man I gotta get back on the show for Misty and Ashley, because they will probably pee themselves laughing so hard, because he talks about
they will.
Yeah, he talks about
him on my show,
he talks
he
about
was killing me.
Yeah, he didn't go into talking about the full scrotum camera, did he?
Oh my Lord.
We did talk about the bunny ranch and how tough that assignment must have been, and he goes, yeah, that was a tough one. He goes, they always are real nice people there, though. They always welcome us with open legs. I mean, open arms, he said. Open arms, that's what I meant. I'm like, you are a freaking nut job, dude. I swear to God. I said, did you really go full Monty? He goes, you saw it right? I go, well, no, but I'm glad I didn't. But anywho, that's pretty brave. I don't think I did that.
It got pretty bad on this show, because at the time I had Jody Parks as my co-host, and she's good friends with him. And, he was talking about the full-spectrum camera, and he goes, you know what, I'm going to develop the very first full-scrotum camera. And I was like, oh, my God, here we go.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, he's crazy. He's what you call cray-cray. But he's a fun cray-cray, and he's a good dude, man. He was really fun.
Yeah.
You know, and speaking of good dudes, when I was real shocked because Keith Ramsey had so much to say, and he's such a quiet guy on the show pretty much. Well, he's a narrator, but, you know, when he's investigating, he's not real – you know, like Randy will get in there and go, come on out here and talk to me, you know, and all that. And Keith will just sit there and go, you want to conversate with me? But on the show the other night, man, that man has had some paranormal experiences his whole life. That you got to have that guy on. I'm telling you right now, y'all will freak out at his dreams that he's had and stuff. And they're like revelation dreams. And I'm telling you right now, he has some interesting – I want to have him back and then have Tracy back by herself. You know what I mean? Because they have – I had them on as a couple, and they have just so much to talk about each that I could do two full shows with them. You know, they were just – he's had some seriously cool experiences in his life. And Tracy as well. But, man, you know, I really didn't know that. You know, I mean, I'm friends with Randy Hardy, and I'm friends with Kevin Besser. And I know them, and I just met Hart Fortenberry June 27th. And Lord have mercy, let me tell you, what you see on TV ain't even the tip of the iceberg with that dude. He is wild as the day is long. I ain't playing. And I met the voodoo priestess of New Orleans too. She did a blessing on his gree-gree stick while we were there. But these guys are just really interesting. But I mean, out of all of them, I had no idea Keith would be the one that would have the most amazing experience as far as paranormal goes that any of them did. And you got to, I'm just telling you, have him on your show. He's got a lot to talk about, and it ain't no BS. He is. He's true blue, and I ain't playing. I kind of like both of them a whole lot. I was like, man, that was one of the best shows I've had, you know? And I've had some pretty crazy people on my show. I've had vampires on my show, you know what I mean? I didn't even know they really existed.
Let me ask you, are they the real bloodletting, or is it the metaphysical vampires?
It's the energy vampires. It's the sexual energy vampires. Yeah. The ones I have no problem with. I don't know about that blood-sucking stuff, so let them teach their own, you know. I'm just saying, I can't even see blood or I pass out, so I wouldn't be a very good blood-sucking vampire. But the other two, I'm all over. You know what I mean? I can do the other two real good.
I watched this special on it one time. And it had this red-haired chick on it, and she was, like, a metaphysical, like, the energy vampire. But then I saw her on
Oh, my gosh. What is the one with Paranormal State? She would help out Ryan, and it was the same girl, and she was like a psychic. So I don't know if he knew about her little vampirism, but, I mean, it's out there for, like, I can't remember her name, but I thought it was really cool.
I do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, my friend, the reason why I even knew or started knowing about it is because of my real close friend, Alyssa Onyx, and she was like, she likes to investigate alone, just like I do, just like Randy Hardy does. So that was like a kindred thing with us. And we're like, yeah, I understand that totally. She's really highly sensitive, and she can't be around a whole lot of people because it overwhelms her, just like it does me. So we totally got off, you know, our friendship on the right foot. And, you know, we've been friends for probably about a year now, and she goes, I'm a vampire. And I'm like, you're what? And I'm like, what do you mean you're a vampire? And she goes, I'm a vampire. And I'm like, okay, well, tell me what that means, you know? Because I didn't even know. My mom had me so sheltered, girl, I didn't even know half the shit that went on in this world goes on. I'm just like, what? So, you know, I thought that was all true blood and all that, you know? I really didn't think it really existed. But they do, and there's tons of them out there. And so she's educating me, and I'm trying to educate the public not to put the Twilight or the True Blood, you know, like label on them. You know what I mean? Because they're totally not like what you see on TV. And Logan South, which is the king of the vampire court of Austin, says, God, if I could go back and erase all Twilight shit, I would do it in a minute. It drives me crazy because everybody asks him, do y'all sparkle in the sun? He goes, do I look like I sparkle in the sun? I mean, people are just, they're just uneducated, and they only know what Hollywood shows them. So I'm, you know, me being her friend, I'm trying to, open my mind up and my heart up and learn, because to each his own. I can't be judging anybody. You know what I mean? I'm a lesbian. I've been that way for my life, and so I've had hell. So how can I judge anybody? You know what I mean? I'm not going to do that. So
right.
It's been interesting, though. I mean, I've learned a whole lot of stuff, and they're really good people. They're a very loyal group, and they love each other very much. And so so far, so good. I mean, I haven't seen anything to be scared of. I'm actually going as a guest to their vampire ball October 25th, so we'll see.
Get out of here. Do you get to dress up?
I get to dress up. I'm going to dress up actually as Eric Northman of True Blood.
What? Now let me tell you, you're talking out of language.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it.
Now, I'm married,
and I like
so
Cookie
I can't
too,
say
but
this.
I ain't Cookie. Huh?
But I can't say this, but some women would think that man is beautiful. I'm just saying some women. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I mean, even though I'm a lesbian, I tell you right now, he's pretty. And
that's like a man.
You know what? I may be a lesbian, but let me tell you something else. If Shamar Moore came here today, I would be like all over that, like flies on honey. I ain't playing. I love me some Shamar Moore. And Chip tells me I'm not a very good lesbian because of my love for that man. He goes, you're not a very good lesbian. And I said, well, I don't care. That is one beautiful freaking human being. He is
if it
beautiful.
Makes you feel any better, sometimes I look at women and think I could be lesbian for that woman, even though I'm not lesbian. So I think it happens, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, you can appreciate the other. You don't want to go to bed with them, but you can say, "Damn." But I'm not making an exception for Shamar. I'm just saying.
I don't eat chicken pot pie, but damn it, if it looks good, I'm gonna take a sniff of it. You know?
That's what I'm saying.
Woo.
He just sitting back there going, "Damn, what did I do?"
Oh, man. Now,
Shamar, if you're listening, baby, I'm right here.
Now, Lena, where are some locations you've been to here in Texas that have been really good investigations? You know, you had a lot of activity.
Ooh, well, let me just start with I went Saturday night to a place called Miss Hattie's Place, and it's in Belton, Texas. It's between Waco and Austin. It is an old African-American brothel. It has, from the 1920s, it has a lot of bootlegging during the Prohibition era. It has it had a speakeasy, and, of course, the brothel had the main house, and then it had houses around it that they called cribs. And there were, like, 4 to 8 women in each crib working it. And the madam could be up on the third floor looking down and making sure all her girls were, you know, making her some money or whatever. And then in the back half of the field, there's where the bootlegging operation was back in the woods. And Saturday night we were there, and one lady, we have to look at the photo, you know, to make sure that what we captured was what we think we captured, which was a cowboy looking straight on at the camera from one of the cribs. Which, we have to look very closely because we're not going to collar its evidence if it's pareidolia or anything like that, so I'm not going to even say. But the activity started before the sun even set, and it was just popping all night long. We were getting names and contact, and my periscopes from Paranologies were going off everywhere, and REM pods, and I had that place just packed full of stuff, you know what I mean, to capture any type of motion, you know, at all. And they're still reviewing their EVPs, and so am I, because it was just Saturday. But, I mean, that super moon kicked it up a notch at Miss Hattie's. I've had a lot of activity there. I have captured one of my best EVPs ever from Miss Hattie's. And it says, we're right here. And then it says, trying to speak into this box right here. It's like they strained my batteries, brand new batteries, out of my audio recorder and my ghost box. And that's what I got from it. I'm like, hell, you can drain my batteries all day. You give me something like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Miss Hattie's is awesome. And then there's the old Yoakum Hospital, which is pretty cool. When I was briefly with Everyday Paranormal, one of the Everyday Paranormal people were taking photos of her husband acting like an idiot, his posing muscles or whatever. And behind him, they captured a 7-foot almost looking, because the doorways were measured at 6.5 or 7 foot, and the shadow figure went all the way up to almost the top of the doorway behind him, and it was breaking the laser grid. And you could see him kind of standing there, and he had like a cane or something like next to him. And then about the sixth, she had one of those awesome cameras that just burst photos, you know, you know what I mean? And on the seventh one, you see him kind of tilt his head, and I said, he's looking at Chris like, what the hell is this goober doing? You know what I mean? What are these stupid people doing? But then it was gone. So, I mean, there's nuns there, there's children there, there's, you hear babies. Old Yoakum is crazy. There's a lot of places in Texas, but those two are the ones that I've really gotten some activity in, a lot of activity. And then the Jefferson area is really good, too. So,
Jefferson, Texas, is full
of stuff. I mean,
Jefferson's like 30 minutes from my house.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, Jefferson, I got another really good EVP in this. I think it was the wasn't Siegel Wharton. I think it was the Claiborne House. We were upstairs, we were doing the ghost box, and it wasn't doing anything, just static. And I said, you know, all we're trying to do is communicate. We don't mean to piss you off. We're not here out of disrespect. We're totally come in love and just talk to us. And I said, just communicate, and then you hear this voice go, wonderful. So that was all, and it was weird because the ghost box was just static the whole time, and then wonderful, just as clear as day. So, there's a lot of hot spots around Texas. I want all these events that are happening up in New York, New Hampshire, New Jersey, all them up in the Northeast. They need to come their butts down here.
Yeah,
I'm tired of seeing all that stuff up in the Northeast. I want their butts down here in Texas. Come on, you know.
Maybe it's too hot.
Yeah.
Don't it get hot down there?
Well, maybe it is, but flights are too damn high up there, man. and driving 14 hours sucks. So,
yeah.
I'll there's a lot of things I would love to go to, like the Scarefest, but I'm not driving 14 hours and I'm not paying $400 for a plane ticket.
Wait a minute.
So.
Hold on. You're a Scarefest? You were thinking about going to that? Because we're going to that.
Well, I was thinking about going to it. However, me and my wife are going to Las Vegas for our 18th year anniversary. So
wow.
I'll have to skip Scarefest this weekend, that week, this year, and I'll probably make it next year. But I might not be married anymore if I didn't go on my anniversary trip. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah. I understand. Well, we'll have to tell you how it is. We'll have to keep in touch. Have you went before?
To Scarefest, never. It's actually my list of goals to, you know, I want to be a speaker at Scarefest.
Oh,
and I have it on there by 2015, so.
That is so awesome. We actually know, I don't know if she's going to be speaking this year, but Pat Bazaar and her daughter, Stephanie, we've actually got to investigate with them, and they've spoke there before, and we love them to death. They are she actually did an article on us, our group, and just
oh, wow.
Great lady. We've got to go to some cool places with them, and, I mean, we love them to death. And they were like, yeah, we're speaking there, and it didn't click with us that, hey, this is a really cool event. I mean, this is big time, you know? Like, we all get to speak at, you know, like, cons here and there, and we're always honored to be able to speak at any of those. But this is, like, you know, big.
This is, like,
this
the big guys.
Big good.
Well, so I have to pass up on Scarefest this year, and I'm okay with that, okay? And Chip goes, well, you know, Chip and Greta are like, next year, baby, we'll do it upright, and it's all good. And I'm like, all right, but I get to go to the Stanley Hotel with Chip in November, which is on my bucket list for the Lost Limbs Foundation event.
Mm-hmm.
Airfare was $108 round trip.
No way.
Yeah. $99 a piece for us four each to get a room for three nights, and then our event tickets are $160 plus if we want to go see Chip, you know. But, you know, that's one thing I get to do. But then I was asked by my agent, actually, Dawn Gomez at Haunted Entertainment. She said, would you like to speak at Tombstone? What?
Oh.
I only watch that freaking movie every time it comes on, and I only know almost every line they say, and I'll be your Huckleberry. Yes. And so I about crapped my britches when she asked me to do that, and I was like, woo, this is crazy. Somebody pinched me, and then a week or two later, I get an invitation to speak at Phenomicon the next weekend, and I'm like,
awesome.
Oh, yeah. Life is getting good in 2015.
Oh, my gosh, that is awesome. I have a question for you. You brought up that you have an agent, right, with Haunted Entertainment.
Yeah.
Tell us, okay, for every normal investigator, because that's how you started, right? And, I mean, that's what you're root of what you do is investigating. Tell us about that aspect of it, because that's intriguing to me right now, that I see a lot of people going with these entertainment places and starting to speak at these big places. So tell us about that and what it all entails, and is there fees, and how do you get hooked up with it?
Well, the only thing that you really have to kind of sell yourself to the agent, kind of. Some of them are actually after certain people. You know, like, if you've been on TV, then they're all over you.
Right.
I've only done a documentary with Chip Coffee. I mean, come on. Give me a little credit. You know what I mean? and, you know, that's all I've done. But yet, you know, I can speak really well, and what my subject is awesome. So, I mean, I speak to people about being an empath. Nobody's ever done that, really. Every con I've been to, they've never touched on how an empath is supposed to, you know, shield, or even what an empath was. I mean, or I wouldn't have asked a psychic, what the hell is that? You know what I mean? So they never speak about it, and that's what my presentation is about right now. I mean, of course it's going to get bigger and better when I learn more and I can add more and I could, you know, help more, but just helping one or two people was great. But when I talked to Dawn and was like, what does this all entail? And she goes, it's non-exclusive. It's like, I can do what I want. I can go to any event I want. If I get in it on my own or whatever, that's great. Or she negotiates. You know, they negotiate for me. I haven't gotten to the part where I get paid for appearances like some people do. Right. You know, I'm happy with a free hotel room and a little gas money. You know what I mean?
I'm not a real big,
you know, diva or nothing. I don't ask for, you know, any kind of special treatment or anything like that. You know, I want the opportunity to let people hear what I have to say. And every time I have, which at History, Haunts, and Legends was my first speaking engagement in April, and I got tons of people telling me how good I was. And, girl, let me tell you, being an empath, whatever, being in front of people, and it was nerve-wracking. And
right.
But I walked through that crap, and I had technical difficulties, and I went right on through like a champ, and I just kept going with it, and I ended right on time, and nobody had to end my express, you know, like, it's time, cut it out.
Yeah,
I just did everything right, and Jody got tons of compliments, like, wow, she was so awesome, and I actually helped an 11-year-old empath not feel so, oh, my God, I'm weird, I'm not like my friends, because when I was speaking, I could see her little face lighten up, like,
right.
Oh, my God, I did that, oh, my God, I do that, and so she kind of connected with me, and if it's just one person I help or one person I connect with, that's good, that's good stuff.
Right.
I spoke at Tyler, and I did okay at Tyler, I think. I mean, I'm not going to say, oh, it's badass. But Granberry, I felt really comfortable my third one out. And, I mean, it was me and another lady and Dean Haglund from The X-Files. So, I mean, I was one of the three speakers, and I felt good by then. So I'm not scared at all now. I'm ready to gung-ho go for it. I'm over the fright. I'm over the nervousness. So I'm just saying, Scarefest, watch out next year because I'm coming for you.
So if you're not pursued by a talent agent, is there fees involved?
Well, the only thing fees involved is if you do get up into the paying bracket, they take a percentage, like 15% or something real minimal. It's not like they take half of whatever. And if you don't get paid, they don't get anything. You know what I mean? If you don't make nothing, they don't make nothing. But they'll negotiate your hotel, they'll negotiate flights. They have contacts that I don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only reason, because at first I was like, man, I'm a freaking paranormal investigator. What in the hell do I need an agent for?
Right.
And it's not really that you need the agent for promoting yourself, because you can do that yourself. It's that they have contacts and they have places that you can actually get actually out in front of people and they get to know you.
That is really awesome.
They've been really good to me. So I'm not complaining so far. You know, Dawn's been really cool. So, like I said, I'm not making her a ton of money and I'm not there yet. But, I mean, we've got Kevin Besser signed on from Deep South Paranormal, and we've got a lot of people on the you know, Rosalind Brown is on Haunted Entertainment. So I mean, they've got a lot of people. It's not ideal management, but you know, it's still one of the good, I think anyway, one of the good agencies. But I do a lot of my own booking. You know, I mean, like I will say, are y'all looking for speakers, or you know, do you have any spots for speakers or whatever? You know, I'm trying to get my name out there. I'm trying to get my story out there because, I mean, I've already helped a couple of people. Why couldn't I help more? And that's what I feel like I was supposed to do.
What you're saying, I agree with 100%. We've been able to speak at a lot of places, and I have thought just for us as our team, because we've heard of people signing on with entertainment agencies and stuff, is that a next step that would be good for us as in speaking? Because we always thought, I mean, girl, you're an empath, but also you are a woman in this field, and I think that when we stand up there and we talk, there is a lot of women in this field, but it seems to be the paranormal outlaw, but there is a lot of men who run these groups, though. And when you find a group that is completely ran by women, which our group is, or you see all these strong women in the field, I think, man, that is awesome. That's what these new girls need. That's what these people who are interested need to see, is these strong women who can go on and say, you know what, we don't have to be the – some people –
lead with sex, or some people lead with this or that and the other. You know, you can be you and you can be strong and you can be intelligent and just be, you know, the best freaking investigator that you can be, you know. And
right.
I think that that's a great message to send to all these, because it's very popular, you know, the investigating.
Yeah, it is.
You know,
it is.
And it's growing more. People are so into this stuff now that, you know, you can guide them and let them know that, you know, you don't got to go down that path of, oh, she's the token girl or the ditz
right.
or something like that, you know?
Right. Exactly. And, you know, so I didn't even realize, but when I went to the memorial or the celebration last night, how many actual people follow everything I do on Facebook that I went to school with, and their parents and their grandparents?
Yes.
They're like, oh my God, your life is so cool, Jesus Christ, how do you do all that? And I mean, you're everywhere, you're all over the place, and I'm like, because I have an addiction. It's called paranormal. I have a bad paranormal addiction, and if I don't get it, my fix, I start shaking and acting strange. And they start laughing, and I said, because I'm more scared of you living people than I am the dead, for sure.
Oh,
you guys
yeah.
can really
crazy.
Tear somebody down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we at least, like, with the spirit or something like that, if that's what we're communicating with, well, at least we know, okay, this is us talking to them. But people are just playing out crazy, man. I mean, just, yeah. I mean, you're talking about Walmart earlier. Ooh, girl. That's people. Scared of.
And I don't understand why. It's like, you know, and I'm so sad about, you know, I guess because I'm an empath and I want everybody to love each other and I want everyone to get along and I want everybody to agree. And I know that's not going to happen because I need to take my rose-colored glasses off, okay? And I get that. But I hate that it's such a freaking, like, backstabbing, sometimes drama-filled, just hateful crap going on. And I'm like, and, you know, scamming people and doing all this stuff. I'm like, why? Why are you doing that? I mean, you do realize karma is a bitch, and karma will come for you. You know, you need to – I just don't understand all that. We're all going for the same thing, answers to the questions that we all have. Now, how are we going to get there? By arguing. It's kind of like Congress. They can't make their minds up to go pee or not. You know, they can't agree if they should, you know, take number two or number one. And so they shouldn't go home. You know what I mean? It's kind of like that. You can't even get a consensus together to actually have para-unity. You know, that's what I really would love to see is a true para-unity. Some people are just nasty.
Yeah, I know firsthand that they had a hand. Several people in the field, I hate to say it, but several people in the field in Texas had a hand in my team splitting up and majority of them going their own way and me kind of taking the rest of the team, and we've just kind of been on a sabbatical the last year. And we pulled ourselves out of the public eye and just do what now we're so what I have left. We're so paranoid about anybody in the field that we do everything just us, right? We don't talk to nobody. We don't tell anybody what we're doing. We stay within ourselves because we're so protective of what we have as a family. We don't let anything in, and we were the most helpful team out there, tried to help everybody and help other teams, and you know, and you got jealous people out there, and they start digging into your personal lives and start, you know, blasting everything, and that's what happens. So, in a way, I miss doing a lot of the stuff, the conferences and whatnot. Jody over there in Jefferson keeps pounding me to come, and I'm like, no, I don't want to be at a conference. I don't want to be around a bunch of these paranormal people. It's sad to say, but that's just where I am.
I mean, it is scary.
It's been a breath of fresh air.
It's hard because, you know, me being who, you know, the enthusiast that I, during my depression, that's all I would watch was Zach and Aaron and Ghost Lab and da-da-da-da-da. And then you meet some of these people and you're like, God, what an ass. You know what I mean? How did you even get on TV? You're such an ass, you know? You got to have a personality. You got to be nice to folks. You know what I mean? You can't be ugly to your fans. I don't get that whole entire thing.
You wouldn't even
they wouldn't even know who the hell you were if these people weren't your fans. So don't treat them ugly.
Yeah.
Don't not talk to them or snub them or, you know, they say hi to you, you don't say nothing and walk away. That's just rude, you know. I mean, and you wouldn't be who you are without them. So maybe get a reality check or something. I don't know, but some of these people think they're actually like, you know, actual celebrities, you know, like everybody should know who they are and bow down to me. And I'm like, dude, really? Uh-uh. Not this girl. You put your pants on the same way I do, so I don't know what, I mean, you know, I don't get it. I just don't understand all the ugliness. I just don't. I hate it.
I know. You talk about celebrities. A couple years ago when I did my conference down here in Marshall, I had Brad and Barry. And I never met him. I talked to Brad on the phone, you know, and all that. But I was on an investigation that Friday night, and Brad and Barry were driving in from San Antonio, and I had thought that I had gotten the hotel rooms all lined out, you know, from what the people said at the front desk. But no, you know, when you're running a conference, never everything doesn't run smooth. It's not supposed to,
I
guess.
Trust me, I know.
And,
no.
Yeah. I was investigating, and I got out of there. I got back to my hotel room about 3:30 in the morning. I had my cell phone off. I fired that thing up, boy. Brad left me a long ass message, and he was not too happy because I had gotten them separate rooms, you know, really nice rooms, and for some reason the hotel screwed it all up, and they only had one room. In one bed. Brad thought that I, you know, screwed him over, which that wasn't my intention at all. So my happy ass at 4:00 in the morning walked over to the hotel because it was next door, and I got that sumbitch fixed. I went to bed and I got a text about 7:00 in the morning from Brad, and he goes, I wasn't expecting you to fix it that quick. He goes, I'm sorry for leaving that long message, but you just got to know some of the people we have dealt with during these events. They've screwed us over. And I said, Brad, that's fine. I said, but I'm a fellow Texan, and I'll get you taken care of, man. And then we talked, we were laughing about it at the conference. But they're really cool guys. But, you know, he thought that I was one of those other people that's going to screw, you know, them over or whatnot. And he found out real quick, No, I'm not like that.
No, that's the thing that sucks is that these people that do put on these conferences and then they get all these big names, like I'm not going to name names, but there was one not too long ago in the San Antonio area that a lot of people got screwed. A lot of big name people got screwed. And it really sucks because now – the people that are starting out doing events, like, you know, I've been doing events for a long time. Hell, I've done my high school reunions and everything else. So that's my thing, too. But, when I start doing events, now I can't get these people hired on because they're going to think everybody's screwing them, so we got to pay them up front. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, that really screwed everybody up. You know, thanks a whole hell of a lot, you know. And then this Ryan Buell crap is just like, are you kidding me? Why, dude? Well, because once you screw yourself up in the paranormal world, you are done. Stick a fork in you. It's over. They will persecute the shit out of him. I mean, from now until, I mean, even if everybody gets their money, he's still going to be talked about as being a scammer. And it sucks. You know what I mean? Why do that shit to people? You know? But poor planning on their part screwed everything up. I mean, you can't put an event in a city and not have a damn venue and then sell tickets and then a week out go, oh shit, we don't know where we're going to have it, we're going to have to reschedule, and not have your talent hotel rooms. I mean, Michelle Bellinger got on there and was like, I don't have a hotel room, I don't have a fucking airplane ticket, I don't have shit, you know, so I got to back out. Well, guess what? That's probably why Chip Coffey did too, you know, because I was like, Chip has never, you know, bowed out of anything. You know what I mean? He is a man of his word. When he makes a commitment, he does it. You know what I mean? It just blew me away. And I was like, I didn't know all the details of why, but when Michelle got on there, then it started clicking as to, oh, it's making sense now. So Chip didn't want to be a part of any of that. And he's like, I'm done. If you ain't even got a hotel room, you know, I'm sure that's the same thing he did that Michelle did. I'm out. But who knows, you know, but you can't plan an event in a city and sell tickets without an actual venue. That just doesn't, how does that even work? So I just go, oh, we're going to be in Seattle on this date, so send me $150 and you know, we'll let you know. I'm sorry, but I'm not sending my $150 until I know where your little ass is going to be, so in case something happens, I can come get my $150 from you. But, you know, I just don't understand why people are doing all this scamming and stuff, and it's really hurting the paranormal as far as, you know, it really is. And it makes it hard to trust anybody. You know, I have a really good group of friends, and I'm meeting really nice people, but I'm now guarded because I'm nervous about this, that, or the other. You know, because one person will tell me, I'll say somebody's name, they're like, oh, you got to watch him. You know, you got to watch him. Yeah. And then somebody else will say, no, man, he's one of the good guys. And I'm like, well, what is it? Which face are you seeing? Because I'm getting two different stories here. I'm getting like he's a snake in the grass, and then you're telling me he's like Mr. Nice Guy. I just don't know what to believe here. So I try to make my own assumptions about people to how we click, because maybe him and somebody else don't click or her and somebody else don't click.
Yep.
So I try to make my own judgments about that. But when you got a lot of people barking the same thing, then you might want to stay away from them. So that's all the advice I got on that one.
Yeah, I found out real quick when the shit hits the fan, you find out who your true friends are, and it doesn't matter whether it's the paranormal or just in life in general. But I found out real quick people that I thought were my close friends in the paranormal. They turned out to be just, you know, assholes. And the ones that are true friends and have a good heart and are in the paranormal for the right reason, they're still my friends today. So I know exactly what you're talking about. You know,
you got to weed the negative out. See, that's the first thing an empath has to do. Weed the negative out of your life. If it's a negative person bringing your ass down, bye bye. You don't have to deal with that anymore. You know
that's
what I mean?
Yeah. You know, it makes a world of difference, doesn't it? Like, when you take every group's had drama. Lord have mercy. To where you're almost ready to give up. I know everybody's, I know we were at one point just like, man, is this worth it? Because all the drama. But, you know, once you get yourself out of that negativity and get with some positive people, good Lord, isn't it a world of difference?
It is, and it takes off. Because there was, and you know, I've been really picky and choosy about who I've had on my team. I mean, the five girls that started it, one of them is my wife, the other one is a real good friend and her wife, and then another one is another good friend, and we all have a volunteer group together as well. And that's the five core members. Now, I've added men, and I've added a new division down in Houston. And so it's grown and stuff like that. But, you know, fear itself is, we're real big on giving back. We're real big on being, trying to be cohesive with everybody. You know, we know who to stay away from, who the con artists are, and we're trying to keep our head above board. And whenever we had a person that we let on the team thinking that they were, you know, sensitive like they claimed to be and that they were going to do what they claimed to do, and then a lot of it was a bunch of BS attention, you know, kind of stuff, you know, like faking seeing things, walking out of graveyards into the woods and stuff.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
And I'm like, oh, hell to the no. No, no, no.
Yeah. And, you
my
know,
team don't play that.
Thing. That's a really sad thing is these people feel that they are missing something in their life so much that they make up that they're sensitive. I got to tell you, there's only a handful of people that I would even consider that I think are sensitive around us
not, I can't say that for everybody, but just right. our people, and it's, you know, because we've come across so many that it seems like they just want that attention, you know?
Right. Yes, and that's exactly what this was doing. And what the person wasn't doing anything I asked. You know, case managers, when you give them a case, they're supposed to go call the client and then come mm-hmm. back to you and say, okay, this is what's going on. Now let's look at a date and see when we can go back and do a walkthrough.
Right.
Well, when you have to stay on a person, did you call the client? No, I got that on my list to do today. Did you call the client? No. I did that about 3 or 4 times, and then when I looked at the website and it looked like a 5-year-old put it together, I was like, So, you know, someone who told me they could do this, that, and the other and didn't do anything and then started, you know, acting or trying to get attention during, I mean, this investigation, and it was at the Granbury Cemetery. We were doing a fundraiser, and it was like an after the ghost tour kind of investigation at the Jesse James, you know, where Jesse James is supposedly buried or whatever. I mean, he's all over the place. But there was nothing happening, and no pun intended, but that was the most dead investigation ever. Now, I know cemeteries aren't the best, okay, but, you know, it was just a fundraiser, so we tried.
Right.
Well, the person kept saying they were seeing shadow people walking from the cemetery into the woods, and after the second time, I went to my co-founder, and I said, what are we going to do here? She goes, bye-bye. I go, okay. So the third time she said it, I fronted her out. And I said, you know what? I sure wish I was seeing the shit you're seeing, because there ain't nothing going on out here.
Isn't that? You know, the more people that you get around those people who just want attention, the bigger they will make the production too, won't they?
Oh, I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, I finally just was like, I just can't do this anymore. And it started making me to where I couldn't even be in the same room with the person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I'm not going to go into any more detail than that, but they're gone off the team. And I didn't have to be the butthole and fire them, so that was good. But I just stripped all the things away, and then they said, well, I guess I'm not wanted. Well, you know, you have to... you know, bring something to the table. Something real would be good. And we don't do that. We don't fake anything. Our name stands for everything a reason, or depending on the situation, it can stand for fuck everything and run. so it just depends on the situation. But mainly we don't run. We stay there and communicate, but... It's fun to think about. But, you know, I just don't like that. And it really irritates the crap out of me. And it's not going to happen on my team, period. It is,
right.
I will not have any kind of faking, any kind of BS, drama. We are in no drama zone. I
yep.
tell them straight up, I ain't playing it. Don't even think about it or you'll be out.
Yeah.
So,
you know what's really bad about the faking part is we've had to call people out for faking, and we've had to let them go. And this was a team that is very dear to our heart. We love these people. Got involved and said, well, we don't see it's a big deal. And that was the biggest, and it broke our heart because we felt like, well, if you don't think it's that big of a deal, then, you know, what are you letting slide? Because I believe the only thing we have in this field is our name and our honesty. Because really,
yes.
you go out, if I had some good equipment, we could all do it because we listen to our EVPs, things like that. We could all fake stuff. That's the honest truth if we were dishonest.
Yeah.
We could make EVPs.
Yeah.
We could make shadow people. All kinds of crazy stuff, you know. But
yeah.
what
yeah.
we're saying is, man, I stand behind this. I am honest. And when you get one person that will fake something or be unhonest, then that there goes your whole team and your name, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly
yeah,
why
know.
I had to cut it off at the pass, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I've had to do that as far as, like, because I had a big team. At one point I had 14 members. And,
wow.
you know, we get a residential call, and it was always the same four members of the team. We took care of all residential. And so the rest
yeah.
of the team would get kind of upset with me. going, well, why can't I go along? And I'm finally I had to be blunt with him. I'm like, okay, well, you're still trying to figure out your psychic abilities, and you're not strong enough to block out negative entity, and we're not going to have that going on in this person's house, and you don't know how to talk to people, and you act kind of rude towards people with your body language and stuff. And I said, I got to do what's best for the team. This is our name. This is our livelihood. And I'm going to keep the same people going to every case. That way we have consistency in what we do. The people know how to work well with one another. We know how to, you know, the process of talking to clients, how to present ourselves to the clients and all that. And I said, yeah, you know, and someone got upset, and I'm like, well, you know, if you don't like it, hit the road, you know.
Yeah, bye. Don't let the door hit you the way the good Lord split you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, people don't understand how much that our groups become our babies. You know, we nurture things, we build it, we start it from nothing, and then we grow it to what it is. And when people come in and they try to mess that up, man, I'm the biggest person to say, well, let's give them a shot. And I've done that a lot in the past. And I've had Ashley come to me. I've had my other founders being like, what are you doing? Are you crazy? And I'm like, well, I just want to give the benefit of the doubt. In the end, it always comes to bite me in my ass. And they're always like, I told your ass. But I never want to give up that hope that, you know, there's going to be good people out there. But, damn, it's getting hard, man.
Yeah, it is. It's slim pickings, isn't it? Let me tell you.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think
we're going to
try maybe some lie detector and shocking them. Like with the battery or some shit, and if them bitches can live through it,
y'all need to
we'll give them a shot.
Y'all need to put them through initiation first, you know, like do a trial run on them a couple
hell
times,
yeah.
And then if they don't know what the hell they're doing, then shoot them like an old horse and put them out back and go next.
Thank you. Or what about hazing? Everybody says it's bad, but damn it, I'm all for it. I'll drop somebody off naked, and if they can find their way back blindfold, I'll do it.
Naked
I give them a
afraid.
Shot.
You don't know what naked and afraid is yet, girl. Hold on to this. We're going to take you to something scary and leave you by yourself without any clothes, and you're going to have to find your way out with a flashlight. Good luck.
There you go.
I'm kind of the point in my paranormal career, I guess you could say, that I know spirits exist. I don't have to go out and get the latest and greatest equipment or, you know, go get the best EVP and all that stuff. I think my focus, and I told this actually in Misty, is I want to get my ideas out there to other teams and get them start thinking of different things to do on investigation, you know, different things that I've done and things that are in my head. I need to write a damn book on this shit, but I haven't gotten around to that
yet.
Yeah,
dude, and I got a publisher friend. She's got her own publishing company. She'll hook you up.
I did a speech one time at a conference, and it was called Thinking Outside the Box in the Paranormal. And the response from everybody that was there, I had a lot of people that were on teams that were listening to me talk. And basically it was me trying to get their brains going, you know, trying to get them to think of things that they probably never thought of before because, you know, we're creatures of habit. And even on investigations, we get into that same habit every time. Okay, we got to get the EVP recorder out. We got to do our EVP session. This is the kind of questions we're going to ask. And it's kind of
y'all need to come up with some new questions. God dang. You know, the spirits are like, damn, y'all suck. Y'all got the same question. Every one of y'all fools got the same questions. What's your name? How old were you when you died? What year is it? How many spirits are in the room with us and shit? You know, I mean, they're probably like, y'all are a bunch of idiots, man. Come on. Y'all got to come up with something better than that.
Well, Freddie, you know what? We started doing, and I still do to this day. We talked about it on this show one night. I started asking questions to the spirits that I was getting responses to, say through the ghost box or if we did a live, EVP burst, you know, a couple minute EVP session and listen back live, those type of things. I started asking the spirits about what's going on and where they're at, you know? What
that's exactly what I'm doing.
How, Yeah.
I want to know what it's like. Hell, I don't care how old you are.
Yeah, exactly. I want to know how you can move an object in our dimension when you're in another. You know, how do you do that? How do you move from place to place? And we asked one spirit, we said, because we were finding out that this spirit was going from a house in Arkansas, and it was appearing down in Jefferson at the Pride House. And we were like, well, yeah, we got it. We found a connection between the Pride House and a house up in, Monticello, Arkansas, the Allen House.
Oh, my God.
The family, we figured it, we did some history. The families knew each other. And in the afterlife, the spirits from the two houses would go to each other's houses. Because
holy crap, that's crazy.
Yeah, we had paranormal teams that would investigate the Pride House and kept coming across a woman in a purple dress, but she never said anything. Well, that same woman we came across over there now and how did she talk to it? And she's going back and forth. And the little girl, whatever, that's at the Pride House, she ends up over there at the Allen House. And I was like, now, this is some crazy shit right here. We got spirits traveling and visiting each other's home. And they're all, they're on the other side. They're not human beings, and they're still visiting each other's family. So
that happened to us, too, on an investigation.
Yeah, we asked spirit, we're like, well, how do you move from here to Texas? And she said, all I got to do is think about it, and I'm there. And I'm I said, damn, my bucket list has just gotten a lot bigger because when I become a spirit, I'm going to travel the world.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to think all the places I can't go to because it's too long of an airplane flight and they'd have to knock me clean out. Like Australia, I'd love to see that, but you can't put me on a plane for 14 hours. Are you kidding me? They'd be calling the FAA going, we're emergency landing. This crazy bitch back here done lost her, I can't do 3 hours on a plane to Seattle when I'm ready to jump out the window, I don't know. I'll be floating all over the place. I know that. When I pass away, I'll see everything I hadn't gotten to see while I was here. So in this shell, anyway. That's the thing that's cool. Huh?
What you said earlier about you're starting to ask those same questions, I wish more people would do that because the simple fact is that's the answer we're searching for. We're not searching for what is Joe Bob's name? When did he die? All that. We want to know what happened when we live our body. When we leave this physical world, what happens?
Right. My friend Melinda that I just lost, she was big into the paranormal, and she had a talk with me, before when she found out that her cancer wouldn't get any better. And she said, I want you to make sure that my husband, Mike, is okay, because Mike is actually an ex-boyfriend from 8th grade, and they've been married for 30 years. So she goes, I want you to make sure that Mike is okay. Check on him and make sure he's good and everything. And she goes, and I said, then you need to make me a promise. She goes, what's that? And I said, when you go to the other side, you need to come back to me, and you need to tell me, and only me, what it's like. I want to know what it looks like. What it all about it, and I want you to be the one to tell me. Can you do that? She goes, I promise you, I'll do the best I can to get back to you. I said, okay.
Yeah.
So, Mel, if you're, I know you. I'm gonna put it out there in the universe. I'm still waiting. So she just passed away. So let her have time to do her little transformation into her little, get her little wings, and then she'll be back. She'll be contacting me. I'm sure I'll get a hold of her on an investigation in the near future. Because she lived vicariously through me. She watched everything I did on Facebook and, with my team and all that. So, I do ask them that. I go, what is it like on where you're at? Is it beautiful? Are you on top of clouds? I mean, I ask all kinds of crazy crap, you never know, know that... I definitely want to know. That's what I wanted to know first off, that my mom was okay. And then I kind of wanted to know, well, have you seen Nana? Have you seen Granny? Have you seen Paul? You know what I mean? I kind of wanted to get a roll call.
Yeah.
So I do. I ask that. I go, is there any of my loved ones here? You know, or did you live in the house? And if so, I mean, you know, what is it? Where are you now? I mean, tell us about where you're at. You know, can you describe it? And I do that because I do want to know what it's like.
Yeah, and, you know, and some of the spirits that we've all come in contact with, because I had a psychic on Sunday, and she's really good, and we talked about this, that there people don't understand, especially, and so you probably understand this, well, you guys up in Virginia do too, when you're in a Bible Belt type of area, and there's lots of different religions and whatnot, there's so many hard-headed people that don't open their heads up because they're hell-bent on what they've been taught that they think it's cut and dry when you leave the physical world. You either go to heaven or hell, and that's it. There's nothing else. But we come across spirits all the time, and all of you can probably agree, some of them are not even aware they're dead. You got some spirits that are still stuck in whatever time that they passed away. They can't understand, you know, and everything around them still looks like it did back when they were alive. You know, it hasn't changed, you know. And so we have so many different types of spirits out there. So there's a lot more to it. And the best information I ever got was when my girlfriend of 3 years passed away, and a week later she appeared in my house to my buddy, who's a psychic, and she started talking to him, and she held up that Bible, and she said, you see this right here? This was written for you guys on that side. This does not work on this side. God has set a different set of rules for us in the spirit world than what you guys live by on that side. And I was just like, that right there, that just got my brain going, okay. I knew that there was something like that going on because of the way some of the spirits that we have come in contact with act. Don't act like the Bible. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-uh.
And it's true. They live by a different set of rules over there. It's a different ball game when you go over there. So now, just like you, I'm asking those questions because, hell, I want to know.
Yeah. I mean, my God, I'm never going to know who Joe Bob was, and he's 32 years old. He died in 1898. What the hell am I going to do with that? Okay, I'll match it up or whatever, and it's nice to know that, you know, you're Jim Bob. I got called a bitch 3 times at Miss Molly's last night, and I go, you know what? Suck it, you know? What's your problem? You know, but, I mean, they were all talking to us last night at Miss Molly's, you know what I mean? But they have to, like, I don't know, the contact that they have with us is such a wide variety of things. There's got to be a different, you know, set of rules there, and there has to be something more than what we see. This can't be the end,
yeah.
And that's Alyssa has a tattoo on her arm. It says, death is only the beginning. And, you know,
yeah.
when the preacher last night, or the minister, or whatever he wants to be called, it's a cowboy church that walks a hatchie, so I guess the pastor, he was up there, you know, giving the, you know, before the eulogy was read, and he was saying that when we're born, people are happy and woohoo and, you know, congratulations and smoking cigars and shit, when they should really be crying for that baby, because that baby has to go through all the trials, the tribulations, the pain, the suffering, the hurt, the heartache,
mm-hmm.
You know, and all that. Before he gets to actually die and go to something so much better than this. So we got it all backwards, he said. And it says it in the Bible. We got it all backwards. We need to celebrate when we die, and we need to cry when we're born.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, I wouldn't understand that, but I'm 45 years old now, and I totally get it. I'm ready for something way better. The shit going on in this world is way crazy. And you know what I mean? People shooting each other and leaving their babies in cars and shit. I'm like, y'all, what the hell is going on with this world? I mean,
yeah.
And, my grandma preached all the time how evil it was and why you want to have a baby and bring in this world. And I'm like, it's not any meaner than it used to be. We just have news that we hear more about it now, you know? I mean,
but really
it has gotten meaner, you know? It really has, and it's really sad. So, hell yeah, I want to know what it's like because I'm ready to see something cool. Ready to not have hate and evil, you know?
I totally get it too because I'm 40, about to be 41 Thursday. So I'm just like you, you know. Before I used to fear death, you know, and death really got to me. And when I got into the paranormal and started realizing, look, this ain't the end. When we pass away here, this ain't the end. This is just a transformation into another totally different place. And we're still existing. Body, mind, you know, body, mind, and soul. Not body, but not physical body, but spiritual body. And so, you know, I'm just like, okay, I don't fear it now. I know that when my time is done here, it's just time to go to a different place. And I'm still going to exist. And, I like the fact of that. And it makes a whole hell of a lot of sense because when we do die, everybody around you is sad because you're physically not here. But if you think on the spiritual sense, they still are there. You just can't touch them. They're not physically in front of you. They're still with you, and they're still thriving.
Tracy told me, I took care of my best friend before he passed away. He had stage 4 lung cancer, and I went to Seattle and took care of him. And, you know, he was always worried about, you swear you won't forget me, you swear you're going to miss me. And he was so worried about somebody forgetting about him, you know. And you can't forget that fool. And, you know, he was crazy, and I love the man. And I've known him since I was 18 years old, you know. And so, I mean, we shared so much together. So I'm not going to forget him. And Ray gave me a message Sunday and said, he's with you a lot, man. He likes hanging out with you. I said, well, yeah, it was no different in life. You know what I mean? We were best friends. That's what we did. So it was nice to hear, though, because I've been missing him, you know. I knew he's been around me because I can feel him. And I'll even say, I know, brother. You know, I know you're here. I just know because we had a thing and there's signs that he's supposed to do, you know, to let me know it's him, and he's done those. So I'm not real concerned with it, you know, being anything that she's telling me is not true because of what she said. She goes, I get a K, and she goes, her audibles weren't real good, like, you know, the name part of it. She said it's like Kent or Kevin or something like that. And I go, maybe Kenny. And she goes, does he wear glasses? And I'm like, yes. And she goes, wow, he's a chatterbox. I'm like, yep, that's him. That's Kenny. And so, you know, she was like, yeah, we got to talk, girl, because he's got all kinds of stuff to tell you. You know, she's a real country. I think she's from actually from Linden, Louisiana. And she's got a real thick Alabama, Louisiana kind of mixed accent, but man, she's awesome too. So yeah, I mean, it's nice to get those messages, and it makes you feel a lot better. And I wish they would come to me on my investigation, but I think I might be a little bit on the too emotional side if I actually heard his voice come over. I think it would freak me out a little. You know, it might wig me out a little bit. Maybe my teammate getting it would be okay, but me, I think I'd be a little bit of an emotional basket case for a while. I might have to check out of that investigation because it would touch me a little bit deeper than other voices. But
I know exactly what you're talking about because you know, when I lost my girlfriend, I was actually on the phone with her and she had a brain aneurysm, and you know, boom, just right there on the phone. I was the last person to talk to her, and It's crazy because I got in a real downward spiral there for a little while. We all do it, you know. Our emotions get the best of us, and we get real sad. And so I would start running an EVP session, which is the dumbest thing you can ever do as an investigator in your own home, you know. But I did it.
I agree.
And when I did it,
I got her voice
on there, and she said, "Please stop."
Oh,
telling
no.
me to stop doing. No, she told me to stop doing what I was doing because it's going to open
yeah.
me up to bad shit.
Oh,
was,
damn!
You know, and when I heard her voice, I was like, "Oh, you know, it just." I didn't know what to do, but I did stop.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. But,
yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah,
so.
that would freak me out a little bit too much. I mean, I love that movie White Noise, and I cry every time I watch it, you know, because I feel for him so much. But, man, it got out of hand on that thing, and, you know, it kind of scared me, too. I mean, you're obsessed when you have, like, 20-something monitors and you're freaking, you're taking over your kids' room and shit with TVs. Okay, we need a meeting or something with you, dude. Let's do an intervention because you're tripping hard right now. I mean, he didn't even sleep, you know. I mean, I would just be scared to do it. I mean, I did do an investigation in my house only because my son, who is sensitive as well, he was feeling something in the house and was scared to go down the hallway, and it was like, you cannot, I'm a paranormal investigator, you cannot be scared in your own home. That does not look good on your mom. So I did a paranormal investigation in my home, and the only thing I found was like high EMF around the refrigerator, you know, and one spot above his door, and that was it. That was totally it. And now he doesn't feel that way anymore. He's fine, but you know, there for a while, it was kind of weird, and I did, you know, history on the house, and when we first moved here, we'd be laying in bed, and it'd be quiet as you can get it, and then you could hear just this faint, old-top music, but I couldn't, I couldn't make out, it was so faint, what the hell kind of music it was, or even a time period to even put it in. It was just real faint. I mean, I searched the house, I went to the attic to look if somebody, you know, a worker possibly left a radio plugged in up there or something, you know. I mean, anything. I was just looking for any reason. Went outside, and it was as quiet as you could hear a squirrel fart from 10 miles away. It was that quiet. So there wasn't a party going on outside, you know. But we could hear faint music. But there's never been anything negative in my home. I've never felt uncomfortable in my home. You know what I mean? So I don't know what my son was feeling, but I did an investigation just to make him feel better. And, you know, I found nothing. So I don't know if it was just an entity that was messing with him briefly and would just come and go or what. But anyway, I don't suggest doing EVP sessions at your house. So, no, I don't want a whole lot of visitors coming home with me from investigation, so I'm definitely not going to open the door and let them all into my house right away, you know?
I agree. That's one thing that we got told when we first started. And they said, man, it takes a very strong person to turn that EVP recorder on in their house. And you know what? We've never done that. I want this to be my safe haven, man, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's why...
Yeah.
You know, when my son was scared in our own home, I was like, this can't even happen. I said, you shouldn't feel that way. This
right.
should be the place you run to and not be scared. So this
mm-hmm.
no. And, you know, I assured him and I tried to tell him it was his Grammy, you know, my mom or whatever, and he was like, no, this is not Grammy. I mean, he was insistent that it was not Grammy. It was not my mom. And so it wasn't friendly to him. And he
right.
was nervous. He would have to turn on the lights. We would have to watch him walk down the hall. I was like, this is getting insane.
Right.
You know, you're 11 years old. Come on. You know, and he's going to be 13 Saturday. Y'all pray for me, okay? No, he's not going to be like the other teenagers, he said. He's like a 40-year-old in a 12-year-old's body. I swear to God he is. So I'm not really worried about him being a real hellion right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, being scared in your own home is not cool. So, yeah, don't do any EVP sessions or anything like that. Leave that outside and do a protection prayer before and after your investigation.
Yep.
And
yep.
if it's a real hairy case, go ahead and cleanse yourself and sage yourself and your car and even your equipment if you want to, just to be on the safe side. And,
mm-hmm.
and then,
yep.
you know, then go to your safe haven at home and be with your family and what or whatever, you know, your dogs, your cats, whatever the hell, you know, and be safe and not have to deal with that, you know. Just like Chip says, he'll say if the spirits don't talk to his ass by midnight, then they're going to have to wait till he wakes up in the morning because it's done. Shop is closed at midnight. I said, okay. And I said, how do you just do that? He goes, after a while, you learn how to shut it down. Because if not, you can't even go into a restaurant. You wouldn't be able to live because spirits would be just all the time running up at you. There's so many of them. I recently went to New Orleans, so I know about more being there, more dead there than alive. There is definitely, that place was like insanely just, oh, my God, activity out the wazoo. There was like, I went into a vampire boutique, and you could feel something weird in there. I was like, something is not cool up in here. I'm going to browse real quick and get the hell up out of here because it was a heavy feeling, like something was stomping on my chest. And I was like, ooh, I don't like that. It felt like I walked into a wall, you know, of just dread. And I was like, it should feel like that in there. So I walked out, and it felt fine after I walked out. But, New Orleans is definitely a cool place to get spirit contact. There's a lot of them there. But, you know, there's a lot of them everywhere.
One of my friends that can see spirits, he said he went into the bank one day, and he didn't shut his abilities down, or something kicked him back on, and he said he started talking to the guy in front of him that were waiting in line to talk to the bank teller. And he was having a conversation, and everybody just kept looking at him, and he just kept talking to this dude. And he turned around to something distracting. He turned, you know, looked over his shoulder, and he looked back, and the guy's gone, and everybody's staring at him. He had been talking to a spirit the entire time.
Oh my God. I'm sure they saw a paddy wagon on him.
That's what I'm saying. He's right up there getting ready to rob the place if I'm working at that bank.
This guy's a kid morning and he's walking here. He's about to do something crazy.
I know.
He might be like McCaskill and take his clothes off and cleanse himself right there in the bank.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh,
crazy.
Lord.
Now, we're down to the last 3 minutes, Lena, so it's your time to throw out any websites, promoting events, anything you got.
All right, well, we got an event. You can look us up on Fear Paranormal Society on Facebook and just give us a like, and we got a lot of events going on right now. The main one is August 30th, New Orleans at the Gemini Lounge, Dakota Lawrence Gallery. It's the smallest one he's ever done. 15 spots only for each gallery, and it's one's a 3 and one's a 5. All the information's on Fear Paranormal and on my personal page. Just look me up on Fear Paranormal. That's the easiest way to get a hold of me. Pretty much that's the only event I got going right now as far as trying to promote is definitely Dakota. So New Orleans, baby, and it just happens to be the weekend of Southern Decadence, which for all you straight folks out there who don't know what that is, that's a big old gay boy party. So, baby, I might be seeing a lot more of New Orleans than I ever thought about wanting to see. And so,
oh my gosh. You were talking my language. Some of the gay men in this building, we love them to death.
Oh, me too. God, how can I not? They're family, but woo, they get crazy and wild, and there's just things that I, you know, being a lesbian, I just don't want to see. You know what I mean? Like, they
you're
got more equipment than I'm. Yeah, just keep that in the fridge. That's all good. Yeah, we're good. Well, I appreciate y'all having me on. I've had a great time.
Yes, ma'am. It was great talking to you. We got to stay in touch.
Yeah, we do. Why don't you friend me on Facebook and we'll get together. Hopefully I'm going to make it to Scarefest next year. You can always put in a good word.
Heck yeah, man, I will. Yeah. I'll send you a friend request. We're going to be best buddies after all this.
That's good. That sounds good to me, girl. Thanks, y'all.
All right. Well, you have a great night, Selena, and thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you. Y'all have a good one, too.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Good night. See, that's how we roll down here in Texas. You Virginia girls got to come down to Texas and see what it's all about.
Of course. Why don't you come on up to Virginia?
We say the same thing all the time.
I know.
Girl.
Like hit a recorder and push play.
Hell. I've been through Virginia so many times I couldn't tell you.
What we're going to have to do is, like, flip a coin and see whose turn it is to go to each other's state. We're going to, I think we're both just so damn stubborn, we're like, you're going to come. No, you're going to come.
Oh, man. Well, it was a good show tonight.
But she was a pleasure to talk to.
Oh, yeah. One of the, because I kind of strayed away from talking to most folks in the paranormal field in my great state because of the anger I still have with a lot of them. So, but Selena, she's a cool girl, and I love her to death, and she does great things in the field. So when I was looking for a guest, she goes, hell yeah, put me on. I was like, hell yeah, I am.
Oh, she was awesome. I really liked her. I like, you know, just the positivity and stuff. That's what we need, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, you know, she's a woman, and I told you that's one thing I like trying to do on this show is bring women that are in the field and bring light to what they do because it's so male-dominated a lot of times that, you know, people don't realize the females that are involved in the field.
Exactly. You know what? You should rename this Ladies' Night.
No, because I'm not a lady.
Well,
but,
somebody's got to facilitate it. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, I got to try to get us a guest for the rest of the month. I've been hitting a brick wall, people not getting back to me. So I got to get us a guest for next Tuesday.
Well, if you have trouble, just shoot me a message. Hopefully I can line up some of these fine people in Virginia.
Yeah. As long as we don't have to talk about the wood burger booger.
That is forever going to be brought up. That shit's never going to die.
Hey,
it's like, yeah, the wood burger.
I'll have to bring on some of my friends from Virginia that told me about that. And
I'd like to hear that.
Yeah. But, good show tonight, and hopefully Melissa's okay. I hadn't heard from her today, so she probably had to work. She's been working her butt off.
Terrible. I don't know why we have to do that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So,
and we just didn't need that damn money.
But, yeah, I don't even know what to play to get us out of here.
Something with a lot of, you know.
Yeah, let's get a lot
something,
of that.
Yeah.
A lot of that.
Something with a what?
I couldn't even think of it. I was like, yeah, something with a lot of, and Ashley was like, yeah, a lot of that, yeah.
I don't even know what a lot of that is.
We don't either. We can't even think of a damn word.
Oh,
we want a lot
beautiful. Of it.
We want a lot of it. Make sure to get that.
What is all this? There's stuff on here I didn't even know was on here. Folks have been putting some songs on here.
Is this everybody on the station stuff?
Yeah, everybody's been putting stuff on. It's cool. I don't mind it. I'm
heck yeah.
Lost. I'm lost with all this right here. What the hell is that? Huh. I don't know here. What the hell? My brain's fried with all these damn names of these songs. I don't know what to play. I'm going. I'm not playing sweet. I'm not playing Neil Diamond. I know that. Where is that phone?
I don't know. I'm looking in here with you.
Well, we could play something that. Now I gotta find it. Damn it. Where is it? Oh hell no. There was a song on here.
Oh my gosh, there are some Poison on here. Rock Stars.
Oh yeah. Hell, there's the Harlem Shake.
Oh shit, now we could do the Harlem Shake going out of here.
All right, hang on. I just had it. All right, I found it. Well, everybody have a good night and tune in again next Tuesday.
Yep.
Good night, everybody.
Same time. Good night.
That's right.
Night.
Con los terroristas. Harlem Shake.